Freuen mich sehr, heute Abend hier zu sein. In fact, I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the New Zealand writers in this hall when I say it's a great pleasure and honour to be in this city with its deep history and its fine river. Catherine Mansfield once called New Zealand a little land with no history. Well, we have far more history than she was able to recognise when she wrote those words, and our novelists have begun to pay sustained attention to it. But I don't think we have historical truth to it on quite the scale that you do. I once wrote a poem about something all New Zealanders experience when they travel away from home, except perhaps when they travel to Frankfurt. And this is the discovery that when you leave New Zealand vanishes. It's never in the news, it's never in the newspapers. And this means that when you do see a capital Z in The Guardian or The New York Times, your gaze immediately shoots across the page. And of course the word turns out to be something rather disappointing, like Zimbabwe or Zarathustra or the Regent's Park Zoo. And from this point of view, Germany is a wonderful, wonderful place to come to, because here so many of the really important words begin with a capital Z. Zeitgeist, Zukunft, Zauber. Belonging to a country that seems to vanish when you leave it may be one reason that New Zealanders are so self-deprecating about their own achievements. There's a Maori saying that goes like this: Kaore te kumara e kōreru motona a te reka. The kumara, the sweet potato, does not say how sweet it is. It does not speak of its own sweetness. And that encouragement to be modest and humble, to beware of self-praise, runs through a great deal of New Zealand life. When Sir Edmund Hillary, probably the most admired of all New Zealanders, became the first person to climb Mount Everest back in 1953, he said simply, "Well, we knocked the bastard off." He behaved as if it was just another climb in the Southern Alps. New Zealanders tend to underplay their own achievements. You'll hear later this evening from our Deputy Prime Minister, the Honourable Bill English, and I imagine he would be the last person in the world to tell you that among his university degrees, he holds a first-class honours degree in English literature from Victoria University of Wellington. In New Zealand, even the political kumara does not say how sweet it is. I might add, on a personal note, I guess, in relation to Sir Edmund Hillary, that I was once asked to write a poem for him to read on a public occasion. And he was reported as saying before this particular event, "I'm going to read this poem which Bill Manhire wrote for me, which I quite like, actually." And that's the best praise I've ever had. You can find this self-deprecating habit of mind and utterance in our top sports people and even in our comedians. Probably our most famous, most loved comedians at the moment are a group called the Flight of the Conchords, who describe themselves as New Zealand's fourth most popular folk parody duo. If you haven't seen them, they're fantastic. One final example: in New Zealand this year we held a national competition to celebrate the 200th birthday of the Brothers Grimm. The challenge was to write a Grimm's fairy tale for Aotearoa, New Zealand. The winning entry was a beautifully executed story about a mother and a crying, crying, crying baby and a possum. The story was terrifying in the appropriate ways, but of course everything turned out okay in the end. In English, fairy tales usually end with the sentence, "and they all lived happily ever after." The winning New Zealand story ended with two sentences: "They didn't live happily ever after, but they did their best." I tell you all this because I think New Zealand writers need to be challenged on the matter of their modesty, and I hope that the friends we make in Frankfurt will encourage us to boast a little about what we can do. One of my favourite New Zealand stories is by the great writer Patricia Grace. It's called A Way of Talking. It's the first story in her first book, published in 1975. And it's essentially about how we need to discover the way of talking that is true to us, that is effective and brave and honourable when we address others. Patricia Grace's story is very much about the importance of such things for Māori. But of course, she's also touching on something that's vitally important for writers, especially writers who are beginning to discover a way of talking. We need to find our voices. We need to find our own ways of making ourselves clear. And I hope you'll hear a range of those voices in the week to come. I was reading Patricia Grace's story the other day, and of course it ends, as I had forgotten, with a family sitting down to eat together. The final sentence is, "Then we sit down to celebrate." That made me think of the chant my granddaughter Isabel, who was born in Munich and lived there for the first 18 months of her life, the chant that she still sometimes offers before a meal. She's aged 7 now. She says, "Peep, peep, peep, guten Appetit." And if I was very brave and persuasive, I would make you all join hands, and we would say, "Peep, peep, peep, guten Appetit," because I do hope this will be a week of feasting and celebration. But I'm not brave enough to do that, so instead let me quote a little poem by another great New Zealand writer, Janet Frame. And it goes, doesn't have a title, just goes, "Before I get into sleep with you, I want to have been into wakefulness too." And that seems to me to be a wonderful, small, modest piece of wisdom about how good relationships work, about how they involve intelligence and thoughtfulness and attentiveness, as well as other things, almost as a precondition of success. "Before I get into sleep with you, I want to have been into wakefulness too." So with Patricia Grace and Janet Frame and my granddaughter Isabel in mind, can I wish us all a week of celebration, good company, and wakefulness. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.